Good morning. Bill Caldwell has asked me to take his place just for a little while. My name is Peter, a friend of Jesus. I want to perhaps remind you of what happened back then. It was Mary who saw him first. In the garden, she said, near to the place where he'd been buried. She'd run all the way from there back into Jerusalem to find us. We were still locked in that upstairs room. We were afraid, scared for our lives. She came in, laughing, crying, a mixture of excitement and joy, confusion and perplexity. She told us he was alive. We couldn't quite understand. It wasn't possible. After all that we'd seen, I mean, we'd watched from a distance, certainly for me, from quite a distance. We'd watched as the Roman soldiers had taken, nailed him. We watched him die. Oh, there was no doubt. You see, the Roman soldiers are professional. They know exactly what they're doing. They knew precisely the routine. So when they said he was dead, there was no mistaking it. Some friends took the body down. We'd seen it. We watched. They'd taken the body and placed it into a vault, a kind of tomb. And now Mary says, it's empty. Well, me and John decided to go. We decided to go and have a look for ourselves. Well, I mean, we were doubting Mary. We were doubting our own thoughts. We ran. John got there first. Well, he's a bit younger, more fit than me. He stopped at the door of the tomb, the entrance, and me, a few minutes later, I ran straight in from the brilliance of the morning sunshine into the darkness, the grayness of the tomb itself. It took a few seconds for my eyes to adjust. I blinked several times, and then eventually, looking around, there was just the linen cloth, folded up, neat, tidy, as if to say, no longer required. There was no sign of him. Not in the tomb, not in the garden. No body. We went back. Met with the others. Some of our folks began to leave. Cleopas and Mary, they said they'd had enough and off they went. They told us later. They went out through the gates of the city and they stood just looking out, looking down. In the distance, they could just make out the village where they live, 7 miles away. Not that far, you could see it from the top of the hill. They looked across at the olive groves. the garden, and further round to the skull-shaped hill. The uprights from the three crosses were still there. And Cleopas and Mary went off home down the hill. They were, I guess, like the rest of us, discouraged, disheartened, maybe even disillusioned. And they talked about all that they had seen, and they shared that with each other. As you do when somebody close to you dies, you talk about the immediate past. Then you talk maybe a little bit more about some of the other memories that come. And as they went down the hill from Jerusalem, over there, Bethphage and Bethany, and onwards. And they said, they told us afterwards that someone had come alongside them. They couldn't quite take in who this was. They were so wrapped up in their own pain. And this man comes alongside and says, "What are you talking about? You seem so engrossed with each other. What's the story?" And they said to him, "Don't you know? Where have you been for the past few days? Don't you know what's been happening?" And he said, What? Tell me, what things?" And they said, "Well, about Jesus. Don't you know him? Haven't you heard of him?" He was great. He was a great preacher. Captivated people with his ideas and his communication. He was an amazing teacher. Oh, and more than that, he used to heal people, and he even brought dead people to life again. Oh, we had such great hopes. And now that's all gone. And this man started to talk to them. They told us later. He started to talk to them and said, let me explain a little bit of this story. And he started at the beginning. Yes, the very beginning. In the Old Testament part of the scriptures, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And he said, as they walked along, this stranger said to them, in Genesis, he was there. In Exodus, he was there. In the books of Moses, all of this was planned and foretold. They walked on down the hill. Still not taking in who this person was. They, in fact, Luke recorded afterwards, they were downcast, making their way down in the kind of same direction that their emotions were going, plummeting downwards. And then he started talking more. He said, "Don't you remember the prophets? Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Samuel? They talked about Jesus. They talked about the Redeemer who would come." And really? And Cleopas and Mary, as they walked along together, they're beginning to find stirrings in their heart. How exciting! It's great. And they continue walking along, and the stranger says, "And even in the book of the Psalms, in the poetry, in the Proverbs,
Read, remember. Things that you remember from school days, in the Psalms and the songs, the Redeemer is there. It's all in the book.
Eventually they come to Emmaus and they say, well, where are you going? And he said, oh, well, I'll catch up with you again, but I've got to go on a little bit further. And they said, no, stay with us, stay with us. And he goes in and he has a meal. They prepare it all. And lying there on the cushions at the low-level table, they're leaning on their arms and they're watching and they're listening. And as the honored guest, the stranger is invited to break the bread and to say a prayer of thanks. And he does. And as they do that, they watch. He says a prayer. He breaks the bread. And suddenly it clicks. It's you! It's you! And he disappeared.
They couldn't wait. They dragged themselves 7 miles away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they get their sandals on and they head off. They're heading backwards. They're heading back up the hill. They're heading into Jerusalem. They're finding their friends locked into that upper room. They've got a great story to tell. And as they came into the room, we watched them. They came into the room. They were bursting to tell us something when one of our folks there said, he's alive, you know. He's been here. Oh, we came 7 miles to tell you that. Oh, wow. And then he appeared again. He was right there in the room. Again, how did he get in? The doors were locked. It was high up. He just appeared. He was alive. And then he went. It's a bit of a roller coaster. We decided to go back home. Galilee. It was 80 miles, maybe a little bit more. Took us a day or two to get back. And then in Galilee, I said to the boys, there's nothing else. Let's go fishing. It was early. Very early in the morning, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. We'd been out there on the lake all night. I was hungry, ready for breakfast. It was cold and damp, and what's even worse, we hadn't caught a thing. The nets were empty. I said to Thomas, hey Tom, turn the boat round. Let's get back. And as we turned the boat round, there was somebody standing on the shore. We couldn't quite make out who it was. The morning mist was just clouding our view, really. As we got nearer, this person on the beach shouted, hi, boys, have you caught anything? It's not the kind of question you ask a fisherman with an empty net. I shouted back, no, we've caught nothing. Don't suppose you've got any good ideas, have you? He shouted back, Put your nets on the other side of the boat. Go on.
I was so fed up. I wanted to shout back something inappropriate, I guess. But we decided to do what he said. We threw the net on the other side of the boat. Now, I thought I'd seen most things over the past few years, traveling around with Jesus. But this was something else. The fish were queuing up to get into the net. They were trying to get in. Just in a few minutes, the net was bulging full of fish. It took us about 20 minutes to haul the whole thing in. It was so heavy. I was still leaning over the side, getting the last of them in. And then I heard John say, "Peter, hey, it's the Lord. Look, it's the Lord." I didn't wait to check. I grabbed my jacket. I jumped into the water. Oh, it was freezing. I didn't care. Half swimming, half walking, splashing my way all over the place. I wanted to get back to the shore just as quickly as I could. And it was him. He was back. He said he would be. And there he was. By the time I crawled up out of the water, he already had fish cooking on a fire. I don't know where he got them from. We brought plenty more. Thomas, oh bless him, Thomas counted them. Oh, Thomas, the man for detail. 153 fish. Can you believe that? And we sat on the beach and we had breakfast with Jesus. It was a bit embarrassing. Well, for me at any rate. I could feel him watching me. I tried to avoid his gaze, but you know how it is. You get that feeling that somebody's looking at you, focusing on you, and I knew why. After all that I had done, denying that I even knew him. I concentrated on the fish. It was nicely cooked. He reached over my shoulder, gave me a bit of bread. "Peter, this is for you." "Let's go and have a walk." Oh. The last thing that I wanted was to be alone with him, because I was such a failure. I'd messed up so badly. But I went with him. "Hey, Peter, are you really my friend? Do you love me?" "Lord, you know I do." "Peter, look after my rams." "What?" Didn't quite understand. "I'm a fisherman, not a shepherd." "Look after my rams."
feed them.
"Hey, Peter," he said again, "Peter, do you really love me?"
"Oh, Lord, yes. Yes, I do."
"Peter,
take care of my sheep. All of them."
I still didn't quite understand. "Hey, Peter, do you really, truly love me more than anything? More than anyone?"
I was getting frustrated by now. "Three times, this is the third time you've asked me this, Lord, and you know everything. You can read my heart and my mind. You know all about me.
You know that I love you. I love you." "Peter, look after my ewes. Feed them. Rams, sheep, ewes. Peter, you might have messed up, but I'm not finished with you yet. Peter, I want you to lead. Be the man that I created you to be."
Oh, I was still confused. I still didn't know quite what was going on. But Lord, and then I caught sight of John. I said, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus said to me, "Peter, that's none of your business. You follow me."
And I've realized that following Jesus isn't always easy. There are tough times, but I know that he loves me, and his plans for me will be the best. Friends, you might be here this morning in this place and you are feeling discouraged today. Stuff going on in your lives or in your life that have been challenging, and you're feeling discouraged, even though you're here this morning. You might even be feeling a bit disillusioned, even disbelieving. Oh, Cleopas and Mary on the road to Emmaus, they said to Jesus, "The women said he was alive, but we couldn't believe that." Maybe you're struggling to hold on to faith this morning. Maybe you're struggling with belief this morning. Let me encourage you by telling you that Jesus promises never to abandon us, always to be present with us in the challenges of our everyday. And he comes alongside discouraged, disheartened, disbelieving people, and he says, "I am life for you." He gave me a second chance. More than that, dozens of second chances. And he invited me, and he invites me to trust him for today. He gave himself for me, for you.